This is Kevin Burke from the School of Kinesiology and Recreation at Illinois State University. Thanks for listening to Burke on Mayberry. In this episode, entitled The Darlings Are Coming, we're going to talk about a lot of interesting things in this episode. I'm real excited about this podcast. First of all, The Darlings Are Coming first aired on March 18, 1963. It was written by Everett Greenbaum and Jim Fritzl and directed by Bob Sweeney. The episode opens up with the Darlings coming into town on their old truck, and they pull up in front of a horse trough. Now, I want you to see something you don't really see on the Andy Griffith Show that much. This is a little visual mistake in the episode. Watch in this opening scene as Andy starts to come around from the back of the truck. I want you to look at his left pants leg at the bottom near the rear of his boot, and you'll see a cord at his left pants leg. That's actually a microphone cord. Now, again, if you have a DVR, you'll have to run it back very slowly because it happens so quickly. But if you slow it down and look closely, you'll see coming out of his left pants leg that microphone cord. So, again, something very interesting already. Well, what happens is Briscoe pulls his truck up. It's overheating, and he takes his hat off, and he starts filling the radiator. Well, Andy comes up to tell him that he's breaking two city ordinances. And so they talk about that a little bit. And, of course, Andy, being the nice sheriff that he is, doesn't give him a ticket or giving him an arrest, as Briscoe says, but basically just gives him a warning. Then the Darlings say they need a place to stay, so Andy directs them to the Mayberry Hotel. Now, one of the funny parts of this episode is as the Darlings get in the truck to take off to go to the hotel, they almost run over Andy's. I mean, just one of the quickest times you'll see Andy move real fast. But as they go to the hotel, you see Briscoe walk into the lobby, and here's John Masters, the choir director. I guess this is his job. A full-time job. He's a reservation clerk at the hotel, and Briscoe walks in alone and checks in alone, paying $1.75 for a room, and he gets room number 27 for you trivia buffs in the back of the Mayberry Hotel. Well, we know what happens. He goes up to his room, and he throws a rope down, and he starts pulling up all the rest of his family in the rope, along with their instruments. And so one funny part of the here in this episode is Briscoe says, all right, everybody's here. And then Charlene reminds him that Other, spelled just like the word other, is still downstairs. And Briscoe says, well, Other just doesn't have much of a personality, that boy. And again, it's hilarious because none of the Darlings actually have much of a personality in this episode. But I will tell you something special about this episode. Not only is this the first time that the Darlings appear in the episode, but this is the only episode in which the Darling boys speak. Usually they just have the funny looks on their face and don't say anything. But in this episode, later on in the episode, they thank Aunt Bee for their supper and they bid her a good night. So it's the only time the Darling boys ever speak. While we're on this subject, the Darling boys' names change a little bit, if you didn't notice that. In this first episode, Doug Dillard was called Jebbin, J-E-B-B-I-N. In later episodes, he was called Doug, and his real-life brother, Rodney Dillard, was called Rodney, and still is. Mitch Jane was called Mitch, and Dean Webb, who played Other, in future episodes, was simply called Dean. So again, one of those inconsistencies that occurs with the Andy Griffith Show. But again, so they're finally all up in the room, and John Masters is supposed to be out eating dinner around 8 o'clock, remember? And so the Darlings decide to play Slimy Ritherbottom. And, of course, Charlene objects because that makes her cry, but they play it anyway. And obviously John Masters comes back. He hears the music, goes and get Andy. And so they go upstairs, and they knock on the door. And as soon as they knock on the door, you start to hear Briscoe playing the jug. And so what he does, he sits there and he just plays the jug while he gives supposedly the family time to sneak outside. So Andy and John go in. John immediately starts looking around the room. And of course, Briscoe claims he can get banjo sounds and guitar sounds out of the jug. And Andy says he doesn't believe him. And Briscoe tells him, well, you're entitled to your opinion. There's a lot of good sayings that the Darlings have in this episode, and even Andy has one or two here that I think's funny. That if you go to Mayberry Days or around Mayberry fans, you'll hear these things said often. So anyway, John and Andy go back downstairs, and because while they're up looking in the room, Andy notices a rope laying in the floor. So they go downstairs and they wait for the darlings to start playing the music again, which they do. Now, again, I think this is a little bit of a writing inconsistency, but the darlings say they're going to play their music while John Masters is out to dinner. But they know he's back now, and, you know, and they just had the room searched, and yet they go to play the music again. So to me, that doesn't make a little bit of sense unless they just feel like they're going to be able to get away with sneaking the family out of the room every time because they got away with it the first time. But again, that's an arguable, subjective point there. So while John and Andy wait in the lobby, the music starts playing again. John Masters goes up and waits a few minutes, and as Andy tells him to, Andy goes outside the room and waits, and you know, when John knocks on the door, out comes the rope, and Andy stands at the bottom and really catches the family as they come down. So again, the darlings have no place to go now, and so Andy gives them an idea a little bit later that you know, they need to find some other place, is basically what he tells them at this part of the episode. And next scene, we have one of those nice scenes on the front porch where Aunt Bee and Andy are on the front porch. And again, Aunt Bee's fixed some white beans, and Andy ate four bowls. And Aunt Bee says, well, you didn't say anything. And Andy says, well, eating speaks louder than words. And that's important to remember that in this episode because that's going to come back a little bit later. But as they're sitting on the front porch, they hear music. And so Andy goes and just looks where they are, and he finds the darlings are in some uninhabited-for-rent building. So, of course, they're breaking another ordinance and has to run them out. Now, here's another interesting thing about this episode. Andy actually names the number of the ordinances that's been broken in these episodes. And typically in the other episodes, that doesn't happen. Barney will call them out. For example, the 907 is a law against dipping one's hat in a horse trough. So, again, you know, Andy knows these numbers. Most episodes, he just knows what the law is or what the meaning of the law is. But he doesn't really call out the numbers. Again, that's a Barney thing. So, again, that changes a little bit as Andy Griffith's show gets further into its run. Another thing that happens, you know, Andy gives him an idea, he says. Now, idea is a Southern word for idea. I have family members in North Carolina. I grew up in North Carolina, as I've said many times in my podcast. And I do have relatives who say idea. I spell that I-D-Y instead of idea. I got an idea for you. So, again, Andy Griffith stayed true to what kind of Southern talk went on in North Carolina. Still goes on today. So, Andy gives them, after he runs them out of here, he tells them he got a place to put you. And so, the next scene, they show him in the jail. Now, he doesn't have them jailed, but he's just using the cells to put the family and let them eat there. And Aunt Bee's serving them. And again, Briscoe eats a lot of the white beans, and Aunt Bee questions him, says, you didn't say anything. And he said, well, eating speaks louder than words. And so Aunt Bee immediately believes Andy and Briscoe are in a conspiracy, and obviously that wasn't what was going on. So again, a funny episode that was happening here. Now, another thing I want to mention, if you go to my website, burkeonmayberry.com, I'm proud to say that I've met Doug and Rodney Dillard. They still play music today. They're in the Bluegrass Hall of Fame, and I've met them at Mayberry Days. If you go on my website, you'll see pictures of my wife and me, excuse me, with the Dillards, and real proud of that picture. And another one I'm real proud of is a picture of me and Charlene Darling, Maggie Peterson Mancuso. And she's hugging me, and she says, huggy, huggy. And it's something she says in this particular episode to Andy as she's hugging him. So, again, please go to my website, burkeonmayberry.com, and you can see those pictures that I'm real proud of. So, again, getting back to the episode, we go back to the courthouse, and we see, before we go to the courthouse, we're out at the bus stop, and we see Briscoe and all the boys standing there. And Charlene's missing, and they discover that, and they think maybe she's gone shopping, but that we find out that Charlene's actually in the courthouse, and she's chasing Andy around. And one of my favorite lines in this episode is Andy says something to Charlene about old enough to be her paw, and Charlene says, well, you sure have been beautiful preserved. And I like to use that line today. And again, this is the same part of the episode where Charlene says huggy, huggy as she's hugging Andy. And Briscoe bolts into the clubhouse. He finds Andy with Charlene got her arms wrapped around him, and basically Briscoe tells Andy he's going to have to fight Dud Wash for Charlene's affection, because the reason the Darlings were in town in the first place was to meet Doug on the bus. He's being honorably discharged from the Army. Now, again, it said earlier in this episode that this marriage was set up when both were age 5, so Charlene Darling has been given this attitude like she really doesn't care about him because she hasn't seen him in so long. So anyway, they go to the bus stop because nobody's listening to Andy. Andy figures he'll just reason with Dud. And so they go to the bus stop, and when Dud Wash gets off the bus, he has a short little chat with Charlene, and basically he wins her love back right on the spot. So it's a good little ending to the episode there. And I love Andy's line here when Briscoe's basically telling him he's lost out. Andy says, "Well, some's got it and some ain't." So Andy, you know, the thing again in this episode that's so good is Andy doesn't fight anybody. He just goes with the flow and solves the problems. I mean, think about how many times he had to run the Darlings out of the different places, and they kept violating different ordinances. He never arrests them. He never gives them a ticket, and he smiles the whole time he's doing it in his easygoing style. And again, that's the Andy Griffith that we all know and love. So again, a great episode here. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about Dud Wash. He was played by Hoke Howell on the Andy Griffith Show episode. Now, you may not believe this because the character he plays was so duddish on the Andy Griffith Show, and I mean that he plays as sort of a dumb character, but he had a long career. He played on a lot of television shows. I'm just going to mention some of them. He played on Bewitched, The Brady Bunch, Columbo, Green Acres, The Munsters, Kung Fu, and Quincy Medical Examiner. And he appeared in a bunch of movies. He appeared with Jimmy Stewart in Shenandoah, James Garner in Marlowe. He was in Grand Theft Auto, which was filmed in 1977 and directed by Ron Howard. And another Ron Howard movie, in Far and Away, Ron Howard directed this and starred Tom Cruise. So Hoke Howell was in a lot of television and movies and had a good career there. So it's not something to be sneezed at from seeing him in some of his early beginnings on the Andy Griffith Show. Well, the trivia question. Some of you may guess what this trivia question was going to be anyway, but I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. And you, again, if you want to find the answer to it, you can go to burkeonmayberry.com and you'll see the answer in parentheses beside the name of this episode. But here's my question. How many hats does it take to fill up the radiator on the Darlings truck? Again, how many hatfuls does it take to fill up the radiator on the Darlings truck? And again, this was said by Briscoe Darling. Again, if you have, if you think you know the answer, you can certainly email me. And this email address is going to change in a little while, but for now it's still at, the email address will not change. It'll be burke@imayberry.com. That's B-U-R-K-E at the letter I, mayberry.com. And you can email your answer to me, and I'd be glad to respond to you whether you got it right or not and give you the right answer. Or if you just want to sort of grade yourself, you can go to burkeonmayberry.com and find the answer to this trivia question. As always, if you have any questions or comments about burkeonmayberry.com, don't hesitate to contact me again at burke@imayberry.com. And again, as a reminder, I encourage you to go over to Two Chairs, No Waiting, which is developed by and produced and directed and done totally by another Mayberry podcaster, Alan Newsom. You will really enjoy what he does there. He has interviews with persons who played some of the characters on Mayberry and just a lot of interesting episodes. He has more than about 125 episodes at the taping of this particular podcast, and he's going strong with that. And you can actually follow him while he's taping some of these episodes if you want to do that as well. So again, thanks again for paying attention to Burke on Mayberry. I enjoy doing these podcasts. And again, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to contact me. And as always, my best to you and yours. And as they would say on Mayberry, and I'd like to say to you now, thanks for listening to Burke on Mayberry.